Good job. Good job, you guys. I love having our kids with us because you know what? The kids are our church. And I love what they do back in Mercy Kids. I'm not quite sure that you know what's happening back in Mercy Kids. But not only are they worshiping together and hearing the word together, but they're learning to pray for each other. They're learning how to serve. And so, listen, we don't just take your kids and babysit them every Sunday so that you can be up here undisturbed. We have church back there for our kids. And Brandon's doing a fantastic job. And so give him a hand. It's amazing. And can I just say, we have the most amazing Mercy Kids volunteers. We really do. I have to brag on our volunteers for just a minute. They are so committed. We have some volunteers back there that have been serving faithfully for 7 years, like since we started the church. If you know anything about children's ministry, they go through volunteers. You know, most children's ministries, you have a volunteer that'll last 6, 8, 9 months, and then like, I'm out of here, man. You know, I'm pulling my hair out. I can't do this every Sunday. We have volunteers that have been back there for 7 years since the church started. And so they are amazing. And the other really cool thing, now I love that we have lots of women, but most churches have like all women volunteers. Our men have stepped up, and we have men back there that are like, hey, I want to be back here. I want to walk with these kids. And so we've got just amazing men that have been back there. In fact, a couple of our long-term volunteers, Brandon and Sean, have been back there since the very beginning. And Ryan's back there. Sometimes that's a good thing. Most of the time, that's a good thing. Most of the time. Forrest has been back there since the very beginning. And so Forrest has been back there since he was a kid. So I think that's what it is. He just didn't want to leave kids' church. And so he's been back there ever since. So I can hear my dad preach anytime. I'm going to stay back there. So that's what it is. But he does a great job. Forrest does a great job with kids. And so in the Toy Story movie, we see this happening where Woody gets really jealous, right? Woody gets totally jealous, and he does a pretty rotten thing. Y'all remember how the movie went? What he does, he pushes him out of a window, you know, pushes Buzz out of a window, and he just tries to get rid of Buzz. But in the end, what does he do? He makes it right, doesn't he? He ends up rescuing Buzz, and he ends up making it right, and he turns his bad into a good. And really, when you think about what Woody does, turning his bad into a good, that is demonstrating falling with style. Y'all catch me there? He turns his bad into a good, and that represents falling with style. Woody fell with style. And so learning to deal with our sins, learning to deal with our mistakes, learning to deal with our shortcomings in a God-honoring way, it can be a challenge. It can be really hard, and it can require humility. Because a lot of times, what do when we fall, when we make a mistake? A lot, we justify, we blame, we do all those things, and Wendy will talk about that a little bit more next week. But we have to have humility. And we have to have a willingness to grow when we fall. And so, in fact, the way that we deal with our failures, the way that we deal with our mistakes and our sins, can make the difference between becoming better people and that, or getting stuck, right? Repeating our sins, repeating our mistakes, repeating our failures over and over and over again. Have you ever noticed how when people don't grow from their failures, they instead repeat them, don't they? So maybe they sabotage a relationship and they sin and they sabotage the relationship and they don't grow from it and they don't move forward from it. They get into another relationship that somehow repeats it over again, don't they? You know, have you ever wanted to grab somebody who is falling here and failing here and failing here and they're blaming all those things? Don't you ever want to grab them and just go, you're the common denominator? Right? You're the only thing that's the same in all these situations. Maybe it's you that needs to change. And so we need to be people that move forward instead of getting stuck. And so what does God have to say about falling with style? And what can we learn about handling our failures in a way that brings glory to God? We're going to talk about that. But first, let's pray, okay? God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you that sin is not the end. Sin is not the end of the road for us, God, that you intend for us to grow through it, that you intend for us to become better people, you intend for us to become more like Jesus. God, I ask that you would show us how to be people who fall with style, who fall forward, God, and move and grow. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, okay, I want to start off by taking a look at Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. And the Apostle Paul is encouraging the church that the power of sin is broken in our lives, right? So everybody say that with me. The power of sin is broken, all right? It's so important that as we move forward, that if you remember anything else, just remember that. The power of sin is broken. And he says this. He says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Okay? So the freedom that God gives us, the freedom of God's grace, the freedom is to move forward, is to move on, is to grow, is to learn, not to get stuck. And so, if you remember one thing this morning, I want you to remember this. The gospel is enough to cover our sins and failures. The gospel is enough. If we don't understand that, if we don't understand the totality and the power of the gospel, we will not respond to sin in our lives in the proper way, and we won't grow. We won't move forward, okay? And so that's not what God wants. The gospel is enough to cover our sins and failures. If you're feeling discouraged or down about your mistakes that you've made in your life, be at peace because the gospel is enough. Be at peace because the gospel is enough. The Father doesn't love you any less when you sin. Do y'all know that? Is that something that sounds counterintuitive? Now, if you're anything like me, if you're anything like me, where maybe you grew up with a father that held your sins against you for a long time, long time, okay? Nobody could hold a grudge against me like my dad could. Nobody could like give me the old, you know, stiff arm, shut me out, cold shoulder, like my dad could. And I remember as a kid, even if I messed up, I knew I had to wait a couple days before I had like talked to him because he just, you know. But our Father in heaven isn't mad at us and doesn't love us less when we sin. He doesn't give us the cold shoulder, okay? He isn't keeping track. God's not up there with like an old spiral-bound notebook writing down what you just did, you know. God isn't keeping track. And he's not holding those things against you. He's not fed up with you. God doesn't get fed up with you. You ever get fed up with yourself? Yes. All the time. You know, but God doesn't get fed up with you. The gospel puts you in right standing with God. Y'all understand that part? I think the hard part that we fail to understand isn't that the gospel puts us right with God. As we have to understand is that the gospel keeps us right with God, right? Well, that was really weak. The gospel doesn't just put you right with God, it keeps you right with God. You have to understand that. That's so important. The gospel keeps us right with God. If you didn't save yourself under your power, you're not going to keep yourself saved under your power, right? It's His power that saved you. It's His power that keeps you saved. And so what are some things that we need to keep in mind as we follow with style and do what's right for the glory of God? The first thing is this. We have to understand that everybody fails. Everyone. Understand that everyone fails. When you blow it, you're not some exception. You know, when you blow it, you're not like, oh man, everybody else is out there got their heads screwed on straight, but I'm the one over here screwing up. That's not the case, okay? That applies for everybody, including pastors. Y'all know that pastors sin? Yeah, no, I'm serious. You may not believe that, but pastors screw up. You know, I'm one of them. And I'm telling you from firsthand experience, we don't have it all together. I don't have it all together. I screw up. I sin, sometimes habitually, okay? And so we have to understand that nobody has it all together. No one is without sin. All have sinned. Okay? And even Karen. Do you guys know that Karen sins? Yeah. I'm serious. Karen, I hate to expose you like that or to take you out of the perfect closet, but I'm telling you right now, Karen sins. Okay? Hudson sins. Yeah, I know. Wendy? Oh. Everybody sins. Oh, everybody fails. So when you fail, you are not some sort of exception screw-up, okay? You know, if the devil can get you to believe that you're some sort of exception, you're some sort of screw-up, and that you're the only one that struggles the way that you do, then here's what happens. Is he can keep you isolated in your struggle. When you think you're the only one, then he keeps you isolated. And let me just tell you, isolation is dangerous. Is dangerous. You ever watch nature films? You ever watch nature films? You ever notice that lions go after the one that's strayed away from the pack? You ever notice that? Lions go after the ones that stray from the back. You know what? If you'll isolate yourself and get yourself away from the body of Christ because you feel bad about yourself, I don't want to be a part of a small group, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to hang out with believers, I just want to be by myself and lick my wounds and feel sorry for myself because I screw up all the time, you become prime target for the enemy. Okay? Don't let the enemy isolate you by making you think that you're some sort of screw-up amongst a bunch of people who got it all together. Nobody's got it all together. Nobody. Nobody at all. Okay? And so he wants to isolate you and keep you alone in your struggle. Don't let it happen. Isolation just perpetuates sin. That's all it does. Isolation perpetuates sin. If you're struggling with an addiction, the last thing you need to do is be away from everybody else. Okay? If you're struggling with those things, if you're struggling with a habitual sin, we talked about it a few weeks ago, a besetting sin. If you're struggling with a besetting sin, something that you just can't seem to let go of, don't isolate yourself. Don't stay away from the body of Christ. Get around people that God can speak through, show His love through, help you through, can offer you accountability through that, okay, through other people who struggle too. All right? So we're just beggars showing other beggars where the bread is, you know. We're just, you know. And so understand, everybody fails. And the next thing, it's so important to understand that Satan may be involved with your struggle, but he's not in control. Satan may be involved, he may be tempting you, but he is not in control. You are not helpless against the devil as he runs you over. That's not it. He doesn't have that kind of power. He may be involved, he may tempt you, he may condemn you, he may speak voices to you that aren't true, may speak discouraging things to you, but he's not in control. He's not in control. The devil is a tempter, he's a master deceiver, but he has no control over you. Tell the enemy where he can go, right? That's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with just telling the enemy where he can go. Because what does James 4:7 says? James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will what? Yeah, good. You guys have been reading your Bible. Okay? It says, resist the devil and he will flee. All right? And so just don't give the devil credit. Resist him. Lean into God heavily and walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. Okay? I'm going to move through these kind of quickly because I know we've got a baptism I'm super excited about. And we've got food, like a bunch of food back there. So, and food is... Foodliness is next to godliness. I just made that up. Okay. So, third thing is this. Drink heavily from God's grace. If you are falling, something besetting you, drink heavily from God's grace. Don't be devastated by your sin. I understand that. I understand that feeling where you're just devastated by your sin. And you know, conviction, when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, that's an important thing. It's important that we listen to that. But don't beat yourself up because of your failures. Don't be devastated. Don't lay down in the dirt and heap like dirt onto your head and lay there, you know, and just don't beat yourself up, okay? It keeps you stuck in the moment. Isn't that what happens? When you beat yourself up, you're stuck in that moment of when you sinned. You're stuck in that last screw up as you just beat yourself up over and over and over again. God does not want you stuck, okay? It keeps you stuck and it robs you of forward momentum towards freedom. Like, you know, I've known people stuck in an addiction and they will beat themselves bloody. Yet somehow, amongst that self-condemnation, they never move forward. You know what I'm saying? Because what happens is they begin to speak things, they begin to confess things about their lives that are not in line with God's word. So instead of saying, I am redeemed, instead of saying, God has set me free, instead of saying, sin has no control over me, they say things like, I'm just an addict. I can't help it. That's just the way that I am, right? And so when you get stuck in sin and you beat yourself up and you start making these negative confessions about yourself, well, hey, you know what? Where your tongue goes, the rest of your life goes, right? We know that because we know Scripture says the tongue is like the rudder of a ship and it steers our lives. And so when you condemn yourself and you beat yourself and you make those confessions about yourself that you're never going to change, that you're just stuck there, that you're just an addict, you're just a dirty sinner, you know, whatever, then you get stuck there. You can't move forward. What you should be doing is confessing things like, I am set free, that the devil has no hold on me, that I'm walking in purity, that I'm walking in holiness, that God has good things for me, that the plans for his life are good and not to harm me, that God has a hope for me in a future. So when you sin, your response should be a positive confession. And your response, really, instead of being beating yourself up, punishing yourself because you feel somehow strangely righteous for punishing yourself to appease some sort of, you know, bizarre religious spirit in you, right? But Jesus already took your punishment. All that beating up has already been done on Jesus. Jesus already took the punishment for your sin. You don't need to punish yourself. He already took the punishment. In fact, our emotional response to sin should be one of gratitude. So when we screw up again, we go, thank you, Jesus, that you took the punishment for that. Thank you, Jesus, that I am not bound to that. Thank you, Jesus, that I may have screwed up, but that doesn't make me a screw up. Right? Thank you, Jesus, that I may have done that, but that doesn't define me. That's not me. I am who you say I am because of the cross. And so don't beat yourself up. Have a sense of gratitude towards God, not hatred towards yourself. Gratitude towards God, not hatred towards yourselves, okay? Be at peace. Be at peace. All right? And then the fourth thing is this. Pray for God to use our failures and to turn them into successes. Pray for God to use our failures and turn them into successes. Could you imagine if we did that, how many people that you would be able to help, just grab them by the hand and take them out of their failures and take them out of their addictions, right? Ask God, God, take my failures and use them as successes. What the enemy meant for evil, God can and will use for good if you let him, all right? And so, pretending to be perfect doesn't help anybody. Doesn't help anybody. Pretending that you've got it all together doesn't help that guy get out of his struggle. Okay? This is so important that we walk through this and we fall with style. Pray for God to take our failures, to turn them into successes. You may be the person that helps somebody else find freedom if you'll fall with style. And you don't beat yourself up. Okay? And so the last thing is this. Go and sin no more. Or at least give it a shot. Go and sin no more, or at least try. Don't take this fatalistic thing. Like I said before, that's just me, that's just me, that's just me. Oh, I hate that. Did I just activate Siri? Wow, okay. maybe I did. Hey, Siri, how do I fall with style? Okay, so go and sin no more. Romans 6:13 says to give yourself completely, completely to God. Completely to God. Okay. Don't get caught up with gray areas. Don't get caught up with compromises. Right? Don't get caught up with unwise practices. You know, sometimes what happens is we give ourselves so much freedom that we forget that God sets a standard for us to live by. Okay? So I'm not giving you an either-or sermon this morning. I'm giving you a both-and. Okay? You do. You have freedom and walk in that freedom, but don't be dumb. Okay? Don't be unwise. All right? So if alcoholism or drinking is something that maybe you struggle with, and that's something that you've kind of that has been a besetting thing for you, all right? Stop going to the bar. Stop surrounding yourself in places where you can smell it and other people are enjoying it. Don't be dumb. Okay? That's all I'm saying. You know, God didn't give us freedom so that we can like rub other people's noses in it. In that freedom, here I am on Facebook with my cigar and my glass of brandy. Okay, well, God bless you if that's what you feel God's giving you the freedom for, but that's just idiocy to rub everybody else's noses in it. God gave us freedom not so that we can be stupid with our freedom. God gave us freedom so that we can lay that freedom down at the cross and say, God, I want to live how you want me to live. I want you to be glorified in all of my decisions. Okay? And so we have to be wise with the freedom that God gave us. Why don't we give our children just unlimited freedom to do what they want? Because they would have candy for 3 meals a day. All right, wouldn't they? Because if we give our kids freedom to do whatever they want, they would come down with some sort of flu or stomach bug within like 48 hours, you know, or they'd run into traffic, all right? And so God gives us freedom so that we'll take that freedom, we'll lay that freedom at his feet and say, God, give me the wisdom to use that freedom. And so it's so important that we take that freedom with responsibility. And so can I just say here, you know, I'm not condemning anybody here this morning. Hey, if you have a glass of brandy at night, whatever, do it. It's fine. I'm not condemning you. But if the Holy Spirit nudges you and comes you along and go, you know, that's not really wise because now you can't go to bed at night without a glass of brandy. Well, you might need to reevaluate that freedom and lay it at the cross. Y'all kind of following me? Okay. And so, you know, it's one thing to enjoy a freedom. It's another thing to become dependent on that freedom to function. You know, and so if you can't relax without a cigarette, well, that's called a vice. All right. And we lay our vices at the feet of the cross, okay? And so I'm not giving you a list of do's and don'ts here this morning. I'm just saying use wisdom and lay those freedoms at the cross and ask God how you are to use them. All right? So no condemnation there. And so just go and sin no more. Don't get caught up in gray areas. Don't get caught up in compromises. Don't get caught up in unwise practices. Remember, we say this a lot here. It's not about what's right and wrong. It's about what's wise in the Lord's eyes. Because we use the right and wrong argument all the time for really dumb things to justify, you know, smoking a bowl 3 times a day. You know, I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, I've heard people, not me. Okay, no. That's, no, not me. Not me. But, you know, we do that. Well, God made marijuana. You know, I mean, come on. Okay. Thanks, Linda, for getting me off script. Okay, so, you know, we have to ask ourselves. We have to ask ourselves. Sorry, boys and girls. Family Sunday, woohoo! Okay, so we have to ask ourselves, am I giving myself completely to God? Can I practice this and give myself completely to God? Or am I practicing things that don't reflect the new life that God has called me to? Okay, and it's so important we ask ourselves that. If you're struggling, then get some systems in place, right? Have a conversation with your spouse. One of the best ways to get sin out of your life is to confess it to your wife. Amen. Because she will hold you accountable, okay? One of the best ways, or have a conversation with your spouse or a close friend about the kind of things, you know, like if you ask your spouse, most of us men, I'll talk into us men here right now, Most of us men would probably not allow certain things into our home if we included our wife in on the discussion. I'm just saying. Ask your wife, is it okay if I play Xbox 4 or 5 hours a day? Is that okay with you? Is that all right with you, spouse? How many of you, your wives, would be like, go for it? Do it. Single guys. Yeah. You're married? Are you serious? Does she play with you? Okay, that's good. All right. Ask your wife, is it okay if we allow certain cable channels into our house? Is it okay if we, you know, talk to your spouse, share those things, have a conversation with your spouse, have a conversation with a good friend, get an accountability partner, get honest, resist the enemy, lean on God's grace. And so this morning what we're going to do is we're just going to close with a prayer. But I really want to challenge you in this week. If you are a person that is just beating yourself up over and over again and you need to lean on God's grace and move forward, I want to pray for you. If you're a person today that needs just some accountability in your life, you maybe need to talk to your spouse, maybe you've allowed some gray areas into your life and you want to walk in a way that reflects God's will, that reflects His calling on your life, I want to pray for you. And so why don't we just close our eyes? Lord, we thank you so much. God, I pray that we would do, like Paul said in Romans 6, that we wouldn't let any part of our body become an instrument of evil. That we wouldn't let any part, we wouldn't let our ears, we wouldn't let anything, God, become an instrument for evil. But instead, God, we would give it all to you.